Today on Real Radio.
The person who says they're a Christian but lives differently. The person who says they're a Christian but doesn't know the Bible, doesn't know anything about it, can't even quote a verse if their life depended on it, doesn't read it, doesn't care, gets their little Sunday dose, and then during the week it's nothing else for them. Temptation comes, they have nothing to fight with. And the Bible warns us, they grow right alongside the wheat. So much looking like the wheat, Jesus said, leave them alone until the end of the age. And then the angels will decipher between the two of them.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament Gospel or Narrative written by Luke. We're looking at the first 15 verses of chapter 8. This is a passage that includes the well-known parable of the sower, well-known among believers at least. It's really a reality check type of scripture because you and I and everyone who hears the Word of God will fit into one of the four categories mentioned. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more in this series called Is This Your Heart?
When you pull up to a model home, I mean, let's be honest, is it not incredible? Doesn't it just suck you right in? I got to tell you, it sucks me in enough to take a camera, to copy all their good ideas, to go home and try to copy it at home. You pull up, if you notice, the curbs are perfect. Guys notice curbs. I don't know why. Look at the mailbox is perfect. The plants, have you noticed the plants are perfect? Because it's all, you know, they bring the plants in on Friday. They have trees. They bring them in and they stick them in the ground, and then Saturday it's open house. Have you noticed that? And if we have one of our good hot spells, have you seen those, man? Those plants are dying and the landscaper is replacing them as fast as he can plant them. But look, it's a beautiful tree. It's a beautiful plant. It ain't got no roots. It looks great. But as soon as the sun comes up, the grass is starting to turn brown, and that glorious tree has been murdered because it's had no time to grow before the heat arises and the intensity comes. Listen, Christian, it's kind of like one of our California earthquakes. You never quite know how well your house is built until it shakes. God makes sure he sends a shaking to our lives to test our faith. And we don't like it. Of course we don't like it. It doesn't say when the shaking comes, like it. It says when the shaking comes, endure it. Look to God. He's going to get us through. Shaking must come. Physical, financial. It's got to come. Every time you and I sit in the Bible study or read our Bibles, the knowledge is in our head. It's the shaking that knocks it into our hearts. It's the trials, it's the difficulties, it's when the husband says, or when the wife says, or when the kid has this disease, or when this happens, it's the shaking that knocks it down. Some people are shaken by events and the seed of the Word of God goes right out of their ear and it falls on the ground. God's desire is that when the shaking comes, it goes deep, it just falls like a cog into the spot, kapunk. And the Word of God germinates and it's there and the roots go deep. What do we learn by this? Very quickly, time reveals what we're really made of. I get excited, and so you should as well, when someone makes a decision for Jesus. But every time you see somebody raise a hand or come forward at a crusade, you pray for them because time will tell. And by the way, let me say that without sounding mean about it. It's not like, oh, hey, you new believer. Oh, time will tell. That's not what I'm talking about. That's mean. We want to encourage them, love them, and bless them, and give them everything they need to make it. But at the end of the day, it's their hearts. Are they serious about God? You know what? The great thing about heaven, many great things about heaven that we could never number. One of the great things is everyone up there wanted to be there. Can you imagine somebody, what are you doing? I don't know what I'm doing here. Well, come on, man, put on a happy face. There's no one up there going to be going, man, is this it? None of that. You're going to be there because you want to be there, and you came through Jesus to get there. But don't be unbelieving in the end. Time will reveal. Time shows what really happens in the end. Secondly, under this point, a heart unbelieving in the end, troubles. Troubles reveal where hope really is. He says, these are they who believe for a while. And this is a shocking reality, church. Hang on to your seat. The word belief here means to believe. How's that for being profound? You say, Jack, you mean I can be saved and lose my salvation? That's not what it says here. I didn't say that. They believed for a while. It doesn't mean that they were saved for a while. None of these people in this category are saved. They were never in the family of God, you guys. They were near the family of God. They came close. As Kent Hughes put it, they were half Christians. Listen, you can believe. I believe in a lot of things. But in none of those things am I dependent upon my existence for. You know me now. I love American history. I love history, period, but I love American history. Whenever I get a chance, I like to tour the lives, the homes, and the grave sites of those great Americans. I love Abraham Lincoln. If I could be a quarter of the man Abraham Lincoln was in life, I'm going to be a happy guy. Committed, faithful, in the midst of opposition and unbelievable losses, he hung on to Jesus. Love the Lord. Abraham Lincoln. As much as I love him, I am not trusting in Abraham Lincoln for my American citizenship. The father of our country, George Washington. I've been to his gravesite. I've been to his house. I've seen his bed, walked through his rooms, and walked through his barns. I'm not trusting George Washington for my American citizenship. I believe in George Washington, and I believe in Abraham Lincoln. Jesus said, these are they who believe for a while. But my friend, what does the Bible say? Does it say in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that the gift of God regarding our salvation through grace, is it by belief or does it say faith? See, belief is the opening of a door. It's belief is like a car that gets you all the way to Disneyland, but you never get out of it and go in. Belief can take you all the way to where you need to go, and the next step must be faith. You see? Yeah, I believe in God. Who doesn't believe in God? You got to be actually an intellectual midget to not believe in God. Good science screams God. In fact, the latest, oh, I can't sidetrack. Oh, just look at what the latest space data is. They're coming this close from saying, God. They just found out some stuff that if the universe was just one moment left or one moment right, the whole thing would fly apart at the seams. You know what that is? God says, I made it like this. Perfect. Oh, man. You can spend your life believing in Jesus Christ and never come to the place of putting your faith in him. And end your life with a hard heart. Justifying your bitterness, justifying your position. Well, if they hadn't have said this, and back in 49, if they wouldn't have done that, and back in, you know, 62 and 93, all these justifiable events in your life as to why you didn't go deeper. And the reality is you couldn't. It was your heart, not someone else's. Believing in someone or something isn't the same as having faith in someone or something. That's an important thing to keep in mind and never forget. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, listen to John. You can hear the old man. He was an old man. He's the only apostle that died of old age. All the other ones were killed for their faith. It's not that they didn't try. He just wouldn't die. Did you know that? Church history says the Roman emperor put John in a vat of boiling oil. And he didn't die. People got all upset about that. And the Christians got all excited about that. So they banished him to the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. And while he was banished there as an old man, God gave him the book of Revelation that you find in your Bible today. Listen to his heart, sweet old man. Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made revealed or manifested that none of them were of us. They don't continue. John, 2,000 years ago, is saying there are people who have been right alongside of us a long time. But in time, they left. And John is talking about leaving the faith. He's not talking about leaving the church at Ephesus. He's talking about leaving faith in Christ Jesus. How could they do that? Because they only believed. They never had saving faith in him. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will both save yourself and those who hear you. Isn't that great? Continue. Go. Press on. And the word means to stay at it. Stay focused. To set your sight upon something until it's done. I don't know if this is being taught in our schools, but I hope it is being taught in our schools. And if it's not, let me know. We'll start our own school. Are we teaching our kids in our public school systems and private school systems? Continue on. Press on. Even when it's difficult, keep going. Don't give up. Set your sight upon it and never let go until you're there. Follow. Stay true. Integrity. Commitment. God says yes, but first in the Word of God. Seek first, Matthew 6:33, the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. Focus. Stay focused until that thing comes. You know, I think of two things about that. I've never seen a greater intense focusing in my life than when my wife was giving birth to our kids. How many moms are in here? I don't know how it is today, because it's been 20 some odd years ago since we've done this kind of stuff, but we used to go to the little coaching classes. Do they still do that? And you go the count and the, I remember all the blowing and the things and counting. You're the coach and she's the one going through all the pain. And they have a focal point. Do young girls, do they still have focal points? And the mom-to-be is looking at that focal point. And all the stuff's going, look at the focal point! Look at the focal point! And up in the corner of the wall, there's a little picture of like a baby or a little teddy bear. Something to tell them, that's my goal! That's what I'm shooting for. And you're committed about that. I don't know that. Us guys, we don't know that exactly. Except mowing the lawn. You got to have a perfect line. A seriousness of mowing the lawn has got to be. You put your eye on that target across the yard, and you never take your eyes off of it. Never, I say. And you have a straight line because you're going straight to it. Paul is saying, you keep your eyes on Jesus and don't let your heart waver. You stay right at it. Continue. Don't give up. And then finally, listen to this. Temptation comes. They fall away. Temptation. An unbelieving end to this type of a heart is that temptation gets the best of them. Temptation reveals what they really are. And in time of temptation, they fall away. A friend of mine told me that Satan is a gradualist. And I had to think about that for a moment. You think of temptation. Temptation comes to every one of us. But the most subtle, most dangerous thing is that, as he said, Satan is a gradualist, and that Satan introduces things ever so slightly, ever so little, so that nobody notices. And dupes those who are to be watching and looking, and just changes ever so slightly and while nobody's looking. And Jesus made mention, and I'll just mention it now, and you can look at it later. It's in Matthew 13. Jesus said that there was a man who had planted a great field, and he sowed his seeds in the field, and he went to bed. And he watered it, and the sun came up each day. And then the crop began to sprout. And as it was growing, his workers came to him. And they said, "Master, did you not plant good seed in the field?" And he said, "Yes, I did. I planted great seed in the field." And they said, "We have found tares. We have found tares in the field. Do you want us to go pluck them right out? Because they're right alongside the wheat." And Jesus said that that master would say, no, don't do that. Because in the end, when time has expired, God will judge. Because I don't want the tares to be pulled up right now and accidentally uproot, listen, one of the stems of wheat. That's how close the fake looks to the real. The person who says they're a Christian but lives differently. The person who says they're a Christian but doesn't know the Bible, doesn't know anything about it, can't even quote a verse if their life depended on it, doesn't read it, doesn't care, gets their little Sunday dose, and then during the week it's nothing else for them. Temptation comes. They have nothing to fight with. And the Bible warns us. They grow right alongside the wheat. So much looking like the wheat, Jesus said, leave them alone until the end of the age. And then the angels will decipher between the two of them. Temptation, my friend, is a great thing if handled rightly. When temptation knocks on our door, if we handle it in the Word of God, we will reject it. And it will expose who and what we really are. Do we succumb to temptation? Only when we want to, and we all do. But what is the track record of our life? And so Satan sneaks in with doctrines and agendas slowly and offers them among the innocent and the defenseless until they swallow it. Temptation comes. The Bible says in first, jot it down by the way, you should have this tattooed on your head. I'm joking. Don't go do this. You should write this down. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation. This is a great promise. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Every time a temptation comes, if you listen careful, the temptation pulls up and you can hear the door of a squeaky hinge open up for an exit. Temptation pulls up, window opens. Temptation pulls up, door opens. Temptation pulls up, there's a new avenue to get out of there by. Okay? You have to remember that. Whenever it comes, there's a way of escape. God promises. And so, we end. Another heart that Jesus tells us is not making it into heaven. And we do not want to have this kind of heart. We want to be so very careful. I'd ask you to close your Bibles right now. And I know this might seem corny to some of you that are here, but just will you just please allow this to be right now? Close your Bible and sit still. Close your eyes, if you would. And just listen to this final remark here. My friend, the truth is the amount of Bible that's in your life is directly proportional to the victory and the power you'll have in your life. If you're listening right now and you have fallen away from Jesus, if this morning you can say, "I used to walk closer with God," it could be that right now the Lord has been waking you up because you've slowly started to deviate off the path. You need to thank Him for that and respond to that. Maybe it's been a while and you're struggling about even coming back. And maybe for some of you, you can't even hear me right now. You have fallen away, and you're here for whatever reasons, I don't know. But the truth is, you can't hear me right now. You cannot hear me say to you that the Lord is wanting to forgive you. You cannot even hear me when I say the Lord wants you to come back. You can't hear me anymore. You can't hear Him. Your heart has grown cold. And that same sun that rises up, that melts the wax and makes it pliable, is the same sun, that same difficulty of life, those same hardships that have made your heart as hard as stone. And you are bitter. And God is saying to you this morning, please, please agree that you need him. That you've strayed and that you are now repenting of your wrong. And then recognize that you cannot rescue yourself anymore. That would mean that you're humbling yourself today. I am not going to jump up and down, my friend. I am not going to coerce you. I will not plead with you. This is between you and God. I want you to acknowledge him afresh as your personal Lord and Savior. And I want you to rejoice, my friend, in his amazing and awesome love. And that will be true if you are a praiser and worshiper and lover of God. If Jesus were to ask you today, is this your heart? What would be your response?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called, Is This Your Heart? Taken from the first 15 verses of Luke chapter 8. It's part of our journey through the New Testament narrative of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we want to give you a couple of reminders. First, hischannel.com carries our television outreach, Journey with Jack Hibbs, hischannel.com. His channel also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. And here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about it. Pastor Jack?
Yeah, Mike, we are in the midst of an awesome series. In fact, it's so excellent, I believe, that we wanted to make that announcement right here on Real Radio. We are going through a special series regarding the disciplines of life. And boy, I got to tell you that just the word discipline causes people to kind of take a step back. We live in a culture today that discipline is out of the vocabulary. Discipline is not discussed. And yet without disciplines, we cannot be a disciple. The very word disciple is connected to discipline, and that is discipleship. If you're in the Southern California area, just drive on out on a Wednesday night, and we're seeing God do some pretty wonderful stuff. Let me give you a couple of titles that we're going through. It's a 31-week series. But I'll just point out a few of them. We're going to be looking at the disciplines of disappointment. Everybody in life struggles with disappointment. Yet we have found out that God is in the midst of disappointment. That's where often we are taught the greatest things regarding our Christian faith. And then the disciplines of doubt, for example. Everybody struggles to some degree with doubt. And we're going to talk about the disciplines of how to overcome doubt that comes against the Christian walk. So it's a great series. If you're in the Southern California area, join us. And if you can't, you can be with us on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock Pacific time at hischannel.com.
Okay. And again, that's hischannel.com, hischannel.com. We do have a link at realradioactive.org. That's our own realradioactive.org. And also, we want to tell you about an upcoming parenting conference. It's on May the 21st and 22nd. You do have to register for it. It's called Raising Truly Great Kids with Dr. Tim Kimmel from Family Matters. Again, that's on a Friday and Saturday, May the 21st and 22nd. It'll cover a number of topics like what it takes to raise great kids in the midst of busy lives, practical ways to take the fear out and put the fun back into parenting, turning heartache to hope with your rebellious child, how to bring out the best in your strong-willed child, and a lot more. Now, you do have to register for this, and you can do so online. Just visit us again at realradioactive.org and just click the link that says Raising Truly Great Kids. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.